we are in transition. But that shouldn't be a scary word. We are in the process. And that should be okay. As we begin a new year, as we have begun to look at what is God making us to become, I have made it very, very clear that God is calling us to come back to Him. We are not going to look like a church across the street, across town, across the state, or even across the country. We are calling on the name of the Lord, and we will adhere and become totally devoted to what He says. As God has pierced my heart over the last many years, I have made it very clear that we are going to follow Jesus Christ and become true, genuine Christ followers and become the church that He has wanted to totally make to become. Amen. We have talked about the early church as being about the only model that we can discover and find as being the genuine effects of Christ's work when He was here. I'm totally amazed how He took misfits that were unschooled, unlearned, and even in their own life had not totally arrived. And I'm amazed how He transformed their lives. We talked last week, we brought up the question, what is missing out of the body of Christ today? In China they're having revival, in other countries they're having revival. What is revival, and why is America the only country that seems to not only be declining in Christianity? We're not growing, we're not reaching, we're not doing the work that God's called us to do. So what's missing? We discovered it's the power of God. We looked to a New Testament church who, when Jesus Christ came to them, He told them to go and wait, and I will empower you. They waited for one just like Jesus to empower them, to walk with them. They weren't waiting for manifestations. They weren't waiting for the byproducts of something, the aftertaste of something. They were waiting for the genuine article that was going to represent Jesus Christ, to be just like Christ. And that was the promise. And so they did. We look back to the beginning of time, not beginning of time, but beginning of our time, back to the first family, and we began to look at the fall of man and look at sin. Sin is what separated man from God. Now, the result of us running away and hiding, that's been, as one brother put it in our men's group yesterday, oh, and side note, this is free, just so you know. We had an awesome men's group yesterday. And now you're in deep trouble when your pastor misses Southern cooking. I mean, it was all gone by the time I got to the plate. And it was my own fault. I was doing things. But it was awesome. And someone said, man, these guys must love you. I know they do. I know they do. That's not the point. But the real point was one of the cooks was a Southerner back there. So, as he reminded some of us today, cooking biscuits and gravy is not a gift. It's a learned trait. It's something you learn. You pass down. If that's not discipleship, I don't know what is. You know, that's a picture of discipleship. Learning how to make biscuits and gravy and introducing it to a culture that may not be used to it. And that's a sidebar, side note. But we had an awesome time. And one of the men in the men's group, I even forgot where I was going, but we were talking about becoming like Christ. And we were talking about getting back to the basics. And I was just amazed at what God's doing. I'm amazed that as we look at the first family, oh, he made the comment, we've been hiding forever since. And isn't that true? So many people in the world are just running, either running to God or running from Him. We hope they run to Him. But we discovered the first family experienced murder in their family. And in my very first few months here, we had a murder-suicide in our community. And that shook our community. And the man who lived shared his story at a community prayer vigil that I was one of the clergy at. And he shared how he forgave the man who meant to kill him and took his daughter. I don't know about you. That would be very, very hard. It'd be very difficult. And he challenged a community. He said, what we need is not less guns. He said, what we need is the love and actions of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was so amazed by that. And so we see a murder in the first family, and we see all of a sudden, as we said last week, Genesis 4:25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. I'm so thankful that men began to call on the name of the Lord. What's missing? We discovered one of the dynamics as we began to look at the New Testament church was prayer. We looked at Luke 11:1. It said, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. We shared the whole idea that they've been empowered to go out and heal people, drive demons out of people that have been tormenting them. Now, is every sickness or disease a demon? No, of course not. Can it be? Sure. The Bible declares it. But they were empowered to do miraculous things on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have not healed anybody this week that I know of. I've not delivered any demons this week. And that was not powerful in their minds compared to the ability to talk to God. And can you imagine them coming to Jesus? We've been watching you day after day, and will you teach us that? This is something that has to be passed down. Will you pass that on to us? Will you show us how to connect with the Father? Because we just don't know how. And my challenge has been, maybe we feel that way. Prayer is not this simple 1-2 formula. It is an overwhelming connection that is in depth. And it's the main reasons why our marriages fail, because we don't know how, or we're not doing it, or we're not doing what we know. And that's why problems happen in churches, because either we don't know how, or we are doing the things we're not supposed to be doing, or you know what I mean. And so miscommunication, misunderstandings, non-communication, you name it, all those things get us in trouble. To every gift has a lot of potential for God to do great things. But with every gift also comes great danger, because the devil can use it too. You know? And that's why we live in such a fallen world. That is why prayer is so crucial. We have churches filled with the Word of God all over the country and are powerless. It is not cut the Word out and get prayer and you got power. It's not the point. It's both. I've been in many churches that did not have prayer. I've been in thousands of churches that did not have prayer. And here's what I mean. It's not enough for a pastor to get up and just pray a prayer and we have a liturgy and we go home. If I've not empowered you to talk to God and to know how to get a hold of heaven, then I have not been a good shepherd. If I've not empowered you to know how to study the Word of God and to know the answers, then I'm not doing my job. I thank God for our leadership. I thank God for their one-on-one and their dealing with trying to teach. Have we arrived? No. Are we perfect? No. If you find a perfect church, let me know, please. I would like to come join it. I haven't found one yet. That's been part of my challenge and my desire to not become like anything in a book on a shelf, but to become like the book and the man in order to become like the church so that we can represent him so it does not get faded and jaded and people misunderstand what Jesus is all about. I want them to see clearly and I want them to know the truth. I do not want them to have second-hand information. I want them to know the truth. I do not want them to have perceptions that I have. I want them to know the truth. I do not want them to receive belief systems that I have. I want them to know the truth. Now, if my belief systems are thus saith the Lord, and we focus on the main, keep the main on the main, then you know what? We're good. But when we start camping out on all the minors, and we make those the major issues, we're in trouble. God didn't focus on that, and I think until we get to heaven, we need to leave it alone. And I'm really excited that God is inspiring us to come back to the heart of the gospel, which, as we talked about, and we're going to continue to unwrap and dive down deep as we talk about the New Testament model. In Acts 2:41 through 43, we have basically acknowledged that the church we want to become like, not so much just like in every character. There's culture, things different. I understand that. But we want to become like the New Testament church in the spirit of it, in the heart of it, and in the motive of it. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. So we asked the question last week, who are they? Says they. Now I know, as I said before, y'all is a different term. And I'm glad they didn't say y'all. We'd be in real trouble today. So they said they. So who's they? Well, as we know, about 3,000 plus 120 in the upper room. So that's who they were. Now, what were they? They were devoted. Dictionary on devoted means this. It means a zealous or ardent in attachment, loyalty, affection, like a devoted friend. Faithful, constant, devout. You've heard the term, I'm a devout Catholic. You know, I'm a practicing Catholic. You've heard that term, right? I've heard that. Walked into a gas station yesterday and one of the men and had went down to Pennsylvania or something, and I don't remember the whole story, but his relative found some hats that have Jesus on it. It says, FBI, firm believer in Jesus. And then it says, I love Jesus on the bill. And so they gave me a hat. Well, what am I to do? Well, you men are going to know, yesterday I had a hat day. So put my hat on, and I didn't take it off all day, and I went in the gas station and to pay for my gas. And the man that had a big old long beard, you know, looked like Jesus, you know, he just all kinds of hair. He, a kid, and he looked at me and he says, interesting question. I don't get asked this much, especially here. Are you a Christ follower? He said. I said, yes, sir, I am. Said, what gave it away? Your hat, which, by the way, I like. That's what he said. And I said, are you? He said, absolutely. He said, I'm here, I'm a student in college, and I go to a church in the community. I asked him a question. I said, do you get people in here, do you question them? If they don't have a hat or whatever. And he said, I really try to represent him. And I try to engage in conversation. I said, well, what do you find? And he said, I don't find too many Christ followers. But I'm glad to find another one. Encourages my faith. Amen. And then he said, no, I'm praying for you as you engage in the community. And I told him I'd be praying for him and his job. God had opened doors for him and opportunities for him. They were devoted. Okay, what were they devoted to? Well, the Bible says the apostles' teaching. Break that down. Teachings of Christ. The Word of God. They were devoted to the Word of God. They were devoted to fellowship. What does that mean? That's not just biscuits and gravy and potluck dinners. That is fellowship with one another, to God and one another. They were devoted to communion and the things of God, breaking bread, spending time together, and applying the things of God in their lives. And they were devoted to prayer, which means communication with God and with God's people, one another. Now, before we go any further, I want to ask you a question because I got a few video clips I want to show you. Have you ever felt like you wanted to know, was there anywhere you could go and still be in God's reach? In other words, have you ever felt like you were just far away and out of touch with God? Watch this video clip, and we've got a couple after that. But watch this, and you'll understand why communication is so important.
Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good.
Unlimited, anytime, anywhere minutes. Prayer, the power to connect, powered by God.
Can you hear me now? Good.
Now, this is more than just our patience, but this is an earthly example, and God is much easier to get connected to, but watch this.
For English, say yes.
Yes.
For security purposes, this phone call will be recorded. To continue, please say yes.
Yes.
Please state your password.
I ain't no hollaback girl.
Please repeat.
I ain't no hollaback girl.
Please repeat.
No. No. I don't know. Yes. No.
I think you said magically delicious. Was I correct?
No.
Where to?
I'm going to shoo in resident.
I think you said, I'm going to shoot the president. Please hold while your call is traced and the proper authorities are notified.
Sometimes you just want to get straight through. That's why there's prayer. Prayer. Live richly.
Now, you ever felt like it was a little hard to get through on a bad day? Now, let me ask a challenging question. Maybe today you felt like I haven't heard the voice of God in a long, long time. Maybe today you may admit in your own heart, I have never heard the voice of God. Watch this.
My whole life I grew up in the same area, Mansfield, Ohio. I've always came to church my whole life. When I hear other people talking about hearing God's voice, I just wondered if it's going to be something really big or just something really small. I want to hear the Lord's voice. I don't think I've ever heard it before. I just wonder, like, what's it like? I've asked God things, what He wants me to do, and He's just never answered me. I want to know what God has planned for my life, what He wants me to do, or what ministry He wants me to be in. I'm afraid about missing what God has to say for me. I feel like I'll just mess up and not know. I have dyslexia, reading disability. A lot of times I feel really stupid because I wasn't able to read the Bible every night. I always tried, but I never could understand what I was reading. I always wonder why, because I can't really do a whole lot for Him having it. I wasn't very good at like doing skits when I was younger because I could never read what they wanted me to do. I don't really know if God has a purpose for me having dyslexia. I've been discouraged because I can't hear His voice, and just sometimes when I'm just feeling down anyways. My grandma went to the hospital for a stroke, discouraged me. Is He even there? Does He even hear me? Yeah, not hearing God makes me kind of just wonder if He's there or not. If God could just tell me why my grandma went to the hospital, it just helped me out a lot. My dad shares with me Bible verses that he's read. I think God speaks in many ways. It's just to hear it. Sometimes I feel like God's with me even though I don't hear his voice, but other times I feel like he's just not even paying attention to me. I think God's going to speak to me, but I don't know. You never really know.
You never really know is his comment. I want you to turn me to Mark 1, verses 35. Last week we were talking about prayer, and we discovered a prayerful lifestyle is often birthed out of a desperate need. This is printed for your convenience to look at in your worship folder. They waited for one just like Jesus was a characteristic of the New Testament church. They became one in heart and mind. They were devoted to the unity. Thank you, worship team, for your vulnerability of sharing the truth. Sometimes, even in the house of God, it's very easy to become divided. Non-involvement sometimes shows that you're not really devoted and united. Sometimes we send messages, though we never really know it. But I think that what God's trying to teach us is that we've got to come back to the heart of worship, the heart of the gospel, the heart of the truth, and the heart of Jesus. We learn that prayer is a sacrifice, birthed out of love. We also discovered everyone participated and played in the game. It wasn't just 10%, it was 100%. They were on board. We discovered united community prayer releases God's power and presence. Fervent prayer with a pursuing heart causes God to do his rescuing work, to do what we can't even do. And we discovered that it takes time investment. I want us to look at the life of one man, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Mark 1, it shares a life and a day of our Savior. It says in verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you," Jesus replied. "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, can you make me clean?" Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cured. Here's what I want us to discover today as we dig deep. Jesus had a plan. To understand the plan that he had, you have to go to the day before. He spent his time with his disciples in their home. And you got real trouble when the cook is sick. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and he healed her. And then all the people of the town began to come to him to receive healing. They were seeking him out. Did Jesus deny them, saying, "I got to go to bed. I only work banker's hours, 9 to 5, see you"? No. He healed them. And then it says, while it was dark, before it was light, he got up. While it was early, he got up. He went off to a solitary place where he prayed, got alone with God. He had a plan. Making a plan requires discipline. Discipline is the ability to say no to one thing for something better. Discipline is not getting up on time. It is going to bed on time. Discipline involves planning and prioritizing so that what you want to happen, happens. It is having foresight so that you will accomplish what you need to accomplish in life. When we say we do not have time to do something, what we mean is that I do not value it enough to change my schedule so that I can do it. So Jesus modeled a lifestyle of sacrificing everything to be alone with God. I used to think religious activity was spiritual intimacy. But it's not. Sometimes you notice the disciples were busy trying to take care of the people. Running after Jesus. Well, where are you? Everybody's looking for you. Why? Because everybody needs you. You got work to do. Mr. So-and-so needs this. Mrs. So-and-so needs that. Jesus, you're not being a real good shepherd here. You notice what Jesus did. He had already taken care of them. Now, maybe not exactly the way they desired and expected, but he said, I need to go to the next thing. That's why I've come. And he understood it took his devoted time to the Lord in order to accomplish the spiritual things that needed to take place. He had to spend time, quality and quantity, in order to accomplish what God was going to do through him. And I think we have a valuable lesson to learn from that as well. We also know in the life of Jesus, he fasted. We've been talking about that some as we've been engaging. And it is denying oneself. It is spending yourself in order to receive. How many of us got on a workout plan January 1? Anybody? Join a club or start a workout, try and lose a few pounds? I had the opportunity to work out, believe it or not, a few years ago. Well, a number of years ago. I won't go back too far. But a friend of mine was a football player, and he went on to the NFL, and he actually allowed me to be his workout partner. I thought that was pretty cool. And one thing he showed me was he would bench press. I mean, he would just lift and lift and lift and lift until he could not even lift his arms. Or walk. And I said, why would you do that to yourself? And he told me a valuable lesson. He said, I have to totally spend everything within me or I will never grow and become stronger. Wow. We can never be emptied. Never be filled until we're totally emptied. Some of us have been running on empty a long time, and you know what I mean. And God wants to change that whole cycle. That's what fasting is all about. And it comes from a love and a compassionate motive. Sometimes you're fasting in order to try to obtain and develop those characteristics, to see clearly, to hear clearly. You know? Can you hear me now? Nothing I, you know, you get a drop call. I can't hear you. You know, I'm losing you. You know, can you hear me now? That is just such a phenomenal statement. Can you hear me now? It's because it's so hard to get disconnected. I mean, it's easy to get disconnected. We're trying to keep in contact with the Lord and to hear Him. As I've been in ministry many years, one common thing I've asked people in my journey with them, even in leadership, is what do you hear? What is God telling you? I go to a pastor's meeting every week, and Pastor Stewart has medical challenges. He's in a wheelchair, but his heart is always cheerful, and he just, you'd have never known. By his spirit, he's not limited and bound. He's just full of faith and full of the character of Christ. And he starts off every meeting. Everybody points to him. Okay, Stuart. Okay, Stu, what's the word? What's God saying? What's God telling you? Some men sometimes are honest enough to say, you know what, I haven't heard from God in a few days. Or whatever. And they allow the men to sharpen them and to say, okay, what is it? What's keeping you from hearing Him, if that's the issue? What How can we pray? And how can we? And I'm gonna tell you, it's a great source, a great safe place. These pastors have become good friends, and they're humans. They make mistakes, and they're trying to lead people. But they prayer is their heartbeat. Today, I've given you an outline, and it's no formula. Please do not treat it like a formula. It's ACTS, which simply stands for adoration, which means proclaiming who God is and the attributes of His character, confession or proclamation, personal cleansing, repentance, putting on Christ's nature, thanksgiving, praise offering, remembering the words of the Lord, supplication, asking, interceding, and petitioning according to His will. Now, adoration means simply all your talk and sight and heartbeat is all around Christ. Just adoring Him, praising Him, thanking Him. Your confession, obviously, is getting right, getting rid, getting, like taking a spiritual bath, you know. Kind of like my mom said one time, now, get back in there and use a cloth this time. All right? Well, sometimes we've got to go back in and say, okay, Lord, you know. But that's okay. But confession needs to be a part of our daily quiet time. Thanksgiving for who He is and the benefits, and read that for yourself. A journal, prayer journal, write out your thoughts, write out your prayer requests. Keep a track. I know this is hard for some of us who are not really writers, but you want to see the fingerprint of God. That's one way to track His presence in your life. And supplication. It includes petition for our own needs, intercession for others. One thing that's missing in the body of Christ that's not being taught regularly is praying God's Word. A great resource for that. There's all kinds out there, but Beth Moore has a great book on praying God's Word. There are times in your life when you go before God. For example, have you ever felt alone? Well, there have been times in my life I've gone before the Lord and I said, God, I know what I feel right now. I feel very alone. But Father, I know Your Word says You never leave me, for You never forsake me, no matter how I feel today or what my circumstances look like. You are there with me, I know. There are times when you have to depend on the Word to pray and trust the Holy Spirit, who groans and intercedes on your behalf and pleads your case. And if you've ever wondered what it's like and understand that terminology, if you go to a court, you do not have a right to speak on your behalf. Typically. I mean, you can be your own attorney, but it's the wisest thing to get your own attorney. Christ is your man. And Christ, the Holy Spirit, goes on your behalf and goes to the Lord. And that's a beautiful picture. And meditation, the New Agers are not the ones that, have created this. It's being still and knowing God. It is getting alone with God. It is waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we're not willing to wait or persevere until we get the answer. But I'm so thankful He's told us in His Word to be still and to wait and to just ponder and meditate and mull these things over in our heads and our hearts, the words. Hide the Word in our heart. Number two, He had a place. He went to the desert, a solitary place. Why? For no distractions, no interruptions. He didn't want to be interrupted. Maybe for you have a place, whether it's a closet, whether for you it is your car, a garage, or wherever. You know what I mean? So, find a place. You know where that might be. Or find one where you can have a quiet time. Whether it's 5 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. Again, we don't want to put a legalistic formula on it. We want authenticity and genuineness. God knows your heart. He knows what you're trying to accomplish. If you can accomplish all those aspects of the dynamics of prayer, that's the goal. To adore Him and to love Him. Spend time, you know, again, He wants all your heart. To praise Him. To thank God for Him. And then, of course, to cleanse. To make right. And for those areas you don't know, just ask God, please reveal to me, where am I offending You? What am I doing? Word, thought, or speech, or whatever. What am I doing to offend You? Believe it or not, we offend God every day if we're not careful. We don't even know it. And it takes His Holy Spirit to reveal to us what we need to know so that we can say, oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. I got to get back to the heart of You. He had a place. Number three, He had a priority. As we said before, nothing interrupted that. And it was so powerful that His disciples wanted to know how to do that. And will He pass that on to them? Will He teach them how to connect and talk to the Lord, the Father? Prayer is a tool with which God uses to bring power. David, a man after God's own heart in Psalms 27:4, said, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple." Psalms 27:4. So how can we be devoted? First of all, by communicating our prayer needs, whether it's to call out on the name of the Lord yourself or to use the resources at your fingertips. In the body of Christ, here's the way you can do that within Southside. For now, we have a prayer email that we utilize to send out to our body so that we can be fervently praying, so that we can bathe people in prayer. That's through our office. And want to ask you to feel free to contact Elaine in our office to, if you have any needs, praises, prayer requests, whatever that is. That is communicated any day. And we do that because we want to not only be connected in prayer, we want for the praises and the miracles of God we want to give God the honor and the glory. The other thing is we have the gathering, our Tuesday night prayer meeting. That's a conversational, interactive prayer time and worship time where we all just gather together. We have a time of being still, not saying a word. We have a time of music. We have a time of prayer. We have a time of just really burdening, you know, for one another and lifting each other up to God. We also do that one-on-one with our church, you know, with relationships. As we grow, we're praying that our church becomes a prayer force. We're not just lip service. We don't want to be like that. We truly want to be a people that know how to get a hold of heaven. Now I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be rich, do you go down to a homeless man and say, "Hey, show me your ways. I want to become a rich man"? No. You go to a man that you have seen knows how to get money, and you say, "Hey, will you teach me some things?" Right? I mean, in other words, show me some skills. If you want to learn a trade like music, what do? You take lessons, don't you? Do you take from someone that can't sing a tune or play an instrument? No, you take lessons from somebody who has been trained. Now, when it comes to things of God and prayer, do you want to go to somebody that's never got a hold of God? No, you want to go to somebody you know for sure has a direct connection with God. Will you pray for me? Will you pray with me? Will you journey with me? All right? That's what it's about. And it's not just up to the pastor to pray for everybody. It's up to all of us to pray for one another and to bear one another's burdens, to love one another, to do all these one another's that God is challenging us to do. And that is the gospel. That's Jesus that's saying, this is how they will know you belong to me, if you have these living in your life. Have you ever heard of George Mueller? One day he looked down the streets of Bristol, England, saw hundreds of homeless children. He was so moved with concern for them that he decided that something had to be done. He had only 2 cents in his pocket, but he decided to start an orphanage. In 60 years, beginning with 2 cents, George Mueller took care of 10,000 orphans. He looked out and saw the homeless kids. He could have said, "But I don't have any money, but there's no way to care for them or meet their needs or to buy their food." Instead, he looked at them and said, "Therefore, I will reach out and help them." And God blessed his efforts in a mighty way. He told amazing stories and answered prayers. He kept a record of his prayers, and his prayer record filled more than 3,000 pages. His notes show that more than 30,000 prayers were answered. One night, there was no food in the orphanage to give the children for breakfast. But at 3 a.m. in the morning, a baker called him up and said, "I just can't sleep. I'm going down to the bakery to bake some bread. Would it be all right for me to bring some over to you this morning? One time, a milk truck just happened to break down the front of the orphanage on a day when they had no milk. The truck driver came in and said, the milk is all going to spoil. Would you like some of it? And their need was met. Time and time again, 30,000 times in 60 years, God answered George Mueller's prayers. There's power in prayer. I want to bring all this in to paint a final picture for you. What hinders our prayer, and that could be a total different message on a different day. God has a process that He is doing. And the best way I know to paint a picture is this. Some of you have beautiful rings on your hands, necklaces around your neck. You've gone to jewelry stores and you see the beautiful things. Do you really know what it takes to get that? It takes people diving deep, whether it's a pearl, digging deep, whether it's gold or silver, whatever it is, you have to go to great pains to get it. And when you find it, do you think gold looks like what's on your finger, around your neck, or whatever? It goes through a process, doesn't it? A silversmith takes silver, and he takes a fire, and he heats it up to 960.50 Celsius. And because of the fire and the heat, begins to refine, to make beautiful. He gets rid of all the dross and all the what is imperfections. And at the end of the process, you find something very, very beautiful and very valuable. Proverbs 25:4-5 says, remove the dross from the silver, and out comes material for the silversmith. Remove the wicked from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. And Malachi 3:2-4, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand before when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. I want to share a final scripture illustration for you, but before I do, I want to ask our worship team to come up and get ready to lead us and shout to the Lord. There's a movie that was a number of years ago. You remember the story of Peter Pan? A movie called Hook with Robin Williams. And Peter Pan grew up, got invaded with all the stuff of the world, all the stuff of life, right? Remember the movie? And then he needed to find his children. He needed to rescue his family. Well, he was all grown up. And the Lost Boys in Neverland gathered around him. And they finally found the real Peter. Watch this video clip and I'll bring it home.
Neverland, Pan the Man.
I know there was three men in the Bible, three boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and as my brother said when he was a little, a billy goat. He said, these men were in a time where the king built a god out of gold, and when the music plays, everybody needs to bow, and if you don't bow, we'll throw you into the fiery furnace. The three boys didn't obey because it wasn't their god. They were thrown in the fiery furnace because they disobeyed, and their arms were bound, and they were thrown in there. And before you knew it, the king said, didn't we only throw three boys in? Well, I see a fourth. And this is my language. I'm seeing something I've never seen before. Something I've only dreamed about. It looks like God. They didn't smell like smoke. They weren't burned. Now, we don't know if they felt the heat. But their life was changed. Because the man that they loved was with them through the fire. The real God was with them. And as we said here today, God is trying to look beyond the things as He's looking beyond our surface. And He's saying, oh, there you are. Oh, there you are. I've been trying to find you. I've been trying to get your attention. I've been trying to open your eyes. Will you come home? Will you receive me? Will you come to me? Will you let go? Will you let me be your guide? And as He is refining, He gets rid of sin, the wrong mindsets, the wrong perceptions, the learned habits, whatever they are, all the dead religion, gets rid of all that stuff. He says, oh, there you are. And then what do we say? Oh, there you are. I finally see the God that I've only dreamed about. I've only heard about. I believed in Him, but you know, I didn't want to take my chances, so I believed in everything. I followed every way. Because that's the way of the world. I pray that we become more beautiful because we've spent time with the refiner, with the true God. And you may feel the heat, but please know, you will not be burned. You can trust that man. He will never abuse you. He will never walk out on you. He will never divorce you. He will never mistreat you. Because he is a man of his word. And you can trust that. I don't care what experience you had, or how many times you've sung He Done Me Wrong songs. This man can be trusted because God is God. And I'm going to ask you to give Him another try. So will you lead us and shout to the Lord? Will you come forward and will you make this place an altar, or make your pew an altar, or stand and worship God together? Let's do that and make this truly a house of prayer. Would you do that with me? Stand to your feet.